It's time for everyone's favorite podcast on the web. You live it up the wall. Where you get the best sports talk and info in New York. It's an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. And here's your host, Chris Sheeran.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. Chris Sheeran, Joe Auriemma, and special guest today, beat reporter for the Chicago Cubs, Paul Sullivan of the Chicago Tribune. You can check out his mailbag at ChicagoTribune.com. So, Paul, tell me, is the North Side still buzzing because Theo is in town?
Oh, yeah. They've been talking about this for the last week or so, ever since the first tweet came out that Theo actually may be interested in the job. I don't think anyone thought it was possible about a month ago when the Red Sox seemed to be cruising to a wild card berth, and then came that epic collapse and the mess that followed, and he kind of fell right into the Cubs' lap. So I think most people here are pretty enthused about it.
And what about the compensation? What are you hearing that the Red Sox are going to get back?
Well, they're really in the beginning stages of that now. I'm sure the Cubs have their list of players they want to protect, probably a Brett Jackson, Trey McNutt, some of their top prospects, Matt Caesar, that used to be a great wideout at Villanova. But I'm not sure. I'm sure those are the guys that Boston would be at the top of their list. But really, it's unknown right now what the Cubs are willing to give up for Theo. I'm sure it wouldn't be one of their top five prospects, but, you know, depends on what Boston is asking for, and we really don't know at this point.
What about in the offseason, top of the Cubs free agent list? Do you think they'll go after a Pujols or a Fielder?
I really don't get that that feeling, just judging from the way the Ricketts have handled the Cubs in their first two seasons here. Last year they didn't give out any multi-year contracts. Going with the one-year route with Carlos Pena and Kerry Wood. So I would be surprised, but they definitely do have the financial resources to do it if they want to. Prince Fielder would be the guy probably just because I think Pujols is just so into the St. Louis thing that I would imagine he'd stay there if they came up with equal money. So I think if anyone, it would be Fielder, but even then, I think that would be a stretch at this point.
That's hard for me to believe that Chicago wouldn't embrace. I know they're bitter rivals, the Cardinals and the Cubs, but you wouldn't think that the Chicago fans would embrace a guy like Pujols if he came over and started paying dividends?
Oh, I think the Cub fans would embrace him. I'm not sure the owners want to give him the kind of 7-8 year deal that
gotcha.
He's looking
Fair
for,
point.
Especially
Fair point.
With the idea that they. You know, they're stuck with Alfonso Soriano's contract, which has 3 years left, and they're trying to get rid of that one. So at this point, they're more interested in getting rid of the big salaries than adding.
Usually, Paul, we're talking to Paul Sullivan of the Chicago Tribune. Once again, check out his Cubs mailbag at ChicagoTribune.com. Paul, what does this mean? Usually when a new general manager is named, he brings in a manager like his guy. Mike Quadi, what does this mean for him and his future with the Cubs?
Well, you would think it would mean he's a goner. Quadi definitely was a bridge hire. The Cubs, I don't think when they hired him, thought that he was going to be here a real long time. They knew that Jim Hendry only had a year left on his contract, and he didn't even make it through this year. He was definitely Jim Hendry's hire. Now that Jim Hendry's gone, you would think that a new GM would bring in his own guy. It still, you know, remains to be seen because they haven't told Quadi anything yet. But I can't imagine the Cubs would stick with him or that Theo Epstein would walk into the situation and look at Mike Quadi and say, yeah, that's my man. So you got to guess that he's gone.
Hey, how are you? It's Joe Auriemma, Paul.
Hi, Joe.
Just wanted to go over a couple of managerial possibilities. I know, you know, a lot of people talked about Theo Epstein and Terry Francona's relationship. That might, you know, I don't know if that would be a possibility of them reuniting. A name that, you know, we're hearing is Ryan Sandberg. I mean, I think that's just a natural fit if he would come back to Chicago.
Yeah, that's probably the number one candidate on everyone's mind. Because he lost out to Quadi last year when Jim Hendry made the decision. And, you know, a lot of people held that against Kwadi. Frankly, it wasn't his fault. But, you know, the fact that he beat out a Cubs legend for the job, kind of people weren't willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. And I think if Sandberg was here, it'd be a very popular hire, obviously. But we don't know what is on Theo's mind. He may have some guy that he's wanted to bring in. I know he was interested in Davey Martinez at with Tampa Bay when he was still with Boston and thinking about replacing Tito Francona. So I think Martinez will be on the list. Obviously, some people think it's going to be Francona. I'm not really so sold on how tight their relationship was at the end, but I guess we'll find out about that. And you know, it could be some candidate that no one's even thought of at this point. I mean, who would have thought the White Sox would hire Robin Ventura 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, seriously. And we're thinking about Paul Konerko as a player manager.
Yeah.
I actually wanted to ask you about the Chicago Cubs minor league system, because one thing that, you know, Theo Epstein is known for, even though he had a high payroll in Boston, he's a really good general manager when it comes to player development. Is that something that the Cubs really coveted, to kind of rebuild their farm system with Theo at the helm, kind of bringing back that tight player development?
That was, one of the things that attracted them to Theo. But believe it or not, they seem to believe that they have a better farm system than most people, most outside observers look at it.
Right.
They did spend a lot in the draft this year, a record amount of money. Giving some first round money to actually guys that were third, second, you know, even the Sean Dunstan was like a late, maybe a eighth or ninth round pick, 10th
right.
round even, and they gave him first round money. So they are spending finally on some draft picks, but the system is pretty bare. I mean, you can see there's no one in AAA ready to step up. They wanted to replace Aramis Ramirez at third base, and there's no one ready. So it may be an inflated opinion of their own farm system, but definitely there's some work to do.
Now, I know, you know, Chris brought up the Pujolses and the Fielders of the world, but is there something that, you know, if you're Theo Epstein and you're coming into this situation, you know, looking at it, covering this team every day, Paul, what would you say are the Cubs' biggest needs in the offseason to really get back on that role that they had at the beginning of, you know, the 2000s, right? You know, when they, you know, were competing for, you know, NL pennants and world championships every year.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't that long ago. 2008, they were, 96-7 win team. So definitely starting pitching is their number one priority. They were the worst in the National League, probably the worst in baseball. And they've got to figure out what to do with Carlos Zambrano. He's, you know, been suspended 2 years in a row, wants to leave. They want to get rid of him, but, you know, no one wants to pay that kind of money for him anymore. But really starting pitching pretty thin after Matt Garza. They've got Ryan Dempster would be their number two guy right now. Randy Wells, number three. They're thinking about making Jeff Samardzija a starter, moving him from the bullpen, the former Notre Dame receiver. But really, they really need a frontline pitcher if they want to compete. The bullpen, you know, that's another question. Carlos Marmol, they thought he was like the answer, and gave him a $20 million 3-year deal and then watched him blow 10 saves this year. So, you know, whether Theo is going to put up with that again remains to be seen. Maybe he'll go out and sign like a Papelbon. Who knows? But definitely pitching is the priority with the Cubs this offseason.
All right, Paul Sullivan, just one more question for you, and it's a layup. Does St. Hood or Cooperstown come first for Theo Epstein if he leads the Cubs and the Red Sox to World Series championships?
Well, it looks like he's already got St. Hood down in Chicago, so he's going to have to lose that here if because he is coming in like the second coming.
Well, that would be you have to admit. I mean, it's just an incredible story. If you know, he's already got the Red Sox two after 86
yeah.
years of waiting. If he gets the Cubs one after, you know, 104 or whatever it is now, just, you know, start pouring the bronze for this guy outside Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to immortalize this guy somehow.
Well, I'll go on record right now, having been a Chicagoan my entire life,
okay.
living here my whole life, that he will not break the curse, that his 5 years will go by, and they will not have one. I'm just saying. I know he's a great guy. I hope he does it, but I'm going on record here. You can play this podcast in 2018 or whenever, and they will not have broken the curse. I'm telling you.
Is this just 103 years of angst talking, or
is this is a whole lifetime of seeing people come in here and saying they're going to break the
well,
curse?
Well, listen, for Chicago's sake, for your sake, I hope you're absolutely 100% wrong. I mean, you might be right. But, you know, to me, it's the history of that team, it's good for baseball. The four teams that are in it now, it's good for baseball. You know, the history of Rich Cardinals, you got the Brewers back in it. You have the Rangers who never won a world championship. You have the Tigers who haven't won it since 84 when Sparky Anderson was their manager. He passed away this year. So if the Tigers could somehow come back from that 3-1 deficit, it's just good for the game. And if the Cubs are back in it and they're competitive once again, it's good for the game of baseball, and it's fantastic for the north side of Chicago. Paul, thank you very much.
I disagree. I think the Yankees need to be in the World Series.
You think the Yankees need to be in the World Series?
I hate to say it, but people watch the Yankees and they watch the Red Sox. They would watch the Cubs, but I don't think people are going to watch the Tigers or the Rangers and the Cardinals or the Brewers.
From a rating standpoint, yes, we could say that. Yeah. But for
from a purist, I'm going to love it.
Yeah,
you're going to love it.
Exactly.
America won't watch it. I'm telling you.
No, you're absolutely right. I completely agree with that. But I'm a guy that I can't stand when people bring up ratings. You know, you can't have it both ways. You can't have, you know, you can't complain about large market teams always getting there, and then when small market teams find their way there, you start bitching about the ratings. You can't have it both ways. And
large market teams have the stars, and people want to see the stars, like it or not.
Yeah, I hear you. I absolutely agree with you. But, Paul, we really appreciate your time, and we're going to hold you to that. In 2018, we're going to play this podcast back. All right, buddy.
I'm ready.
Thank you very much. Once again, that's Paul Sullivan, the Chicago Tribune. Check out his mailbag at chicagotribune.com, the beat reporter of the Chicago Cubs. We're back with more Off the Wall right after this.
The Off the Wall podcast is available on iTunes. Don't miss a single episode. Search for Off the Wall and subscribe today.
It's Off the Wall on yesnetwork.com. Here's more from Chris Sheeran.
Welcome back to my office and back to the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. Chris Sheeran, Joe Auriemma. We want to thank Paul Sullivan once again from the Chicago Tribune for hopping aboard with us for a little bit. Great segment.
Great segment.
Talking to us about Theo Epstein and his new address in the north side of Chicago.
And, you have to really check out Paul's work. He has a pulse on the Cubs. He's great. He's with the Tribune.
And being candid. The end of that.
He went on record.
He did.
That was great.
He did go on record. He doesn't think they're going to win a World Series till 2018, and that's 110 years without a World Series victory. I'd love to see the Cubs get one. I don't know about you. You know, we're both Yankee fans, but I wouldn't mind seeing the Cubbies win the World Series
at
all.
I have no problem with the Cubs.
Those lovable losers.
Well, there's always next year, baby.
Let's do a nice little bow tie on the Yankees season, because I think we have to. We haven't talked about it yet. Alex Rodriguez is pretty much the lightning rod. I think we could agree on that. When anything goes wrong with the Yankees, it all seems to revert back to him. And let me just get through my little soapbox here before you jump in here, Joe. Yes, I know Alex Rodriguez makes a lot of money to play baseball. Mm-hmm. Yes, I know Mark Teixeira makes a lot of money to play baseball. Mm-hmm. Nick Swisher doesn't make as much as they do. CC Sabathia does. They all make a lot of money to play the game of baseball. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing, people. You cannot complain. You can't. Don't tell me you're paying their salary, because you're not. Most of you can't even go to games. And I lump myself in there with that crowd. The only time I go to a game is when I'm wearing my ID badge, my press pass, to go work. Okay? I can't afford it. I'll be the first one to say it. I can't go. But I brought that up to say this. If you don't pay an Alex Rodriguez, if you don't pay a Mark Teixeira, who, by the way, may not have performed at the plate, but played a hell of a corner of an infield for the Yankees in the postseason, in the five games that they did play. You got to factor that in. You do. But if you don't pay these guys the money, guess what? They're not here. Okay? So don't factor in money when you're trying to factor in their performance in the postseason. Let's break down A-Rod, okay? Excluding 2009, where without Alex Rodriguez, you're not celebrating down the Canyon of Heroes. Sorry, but you're not. 2009, he was 19 for 52, 6 homers, and 18 RBI. Batted 365 in that postseason. And without that guy, you might not even make it past the Twins. I get it. From Game 4, this is excluding 2009 now. In Game 4, 2004, when the turnaround with the Red Sox started to happen, I know everybody's starting to break out in highs because I'm bringing it up. In every other year, he was in the postseason with the Yankees. From Game 4 in 2004 on, excluding 2009, the guy is 18 for 111. That's a 162 average. With one home run and 7 RBI. Okay? I get why people get all over him. I do. But what people have to understand is there's two things. A, you might not want to hear it, but that's baseball. Sometimes you don't hit. And when the magnifying glass is on in the postseason, there's no way to get away from it. If you're in an 0-for-14 slump, if you're Joe Blow in June, no one's really going to notice because you have plenty of time to break out. If you're Alex Rodriguez, you had that slump at any time, there's a magnifying glass on you. It's times 1,000 in the postseason. That's why this guy takes lumps. Can you have an opinion? Can you give him, you know, a hard time? Of course you can. It's your God-given right. Free speech. But you can't just blame Alex Rodriguez. You can't. The Yankees, as Joe Girardi so eloquently put it in his final press conference at Yankee Stadium the other day, which we aired live on the YES Network, they were one hit away from advancing. One hit. Bottom seven in your park, down one, with the bases loaded and one out in the seventh. You have 4, 5, and 6 coming up. You can't script this any better. You're all the mystique and the aura. Can't script it. Strikeout, walk, and I think a foul out by Swisher, who stunk. He stunk. But like I said, it's baseball. And in the postseason, you're facing very good pitching every night. And with Verlander, you're facing a Cy Young Award winner. You only faced him once. But Scherzer held the Yankees in check during the year. And as far as Alex Rodriguez goes, I don't know what you were expecting of him. The guy batted 191 the last month of the season.
He was obviously hurt.
What were you expecting?
He was obviously
hurt. Now, in Joe Girardi's defense, you have to bat him clean up. You have to. And you know, maybe he runs into one. Maybe. But it never happened. And you're never going to know how much his knee was hurting. You're never going to know how much maybe his thumb was hurting. Never made an excuse. He went out there, he sucked it up, and he played. And again, I know he makes a lot of money. I know that. But it's not one man's fault. Baseball is 9 guys.
It's a team sport.
And it was the same 9 guys all 5 games. By the way, Brett Gardner almost batted 400. Just throwing that out there. Oh, baby. The New York Yankees, in my opinion, and I'm going to give my partner credit for this, next year, going to look very different. You're not going to see Bartolo Colon. You're not going to see Freddie Garcia.
I don't think you're going to see Nick Swisher. He's got a $10 million team option that I think sailed away with his playoff performance again for the third year in a row. Not to make an 80s reference, which I love doing all the time, but I'm going to do it anyway. It's like someone took the DeLorean, went back in time, and erased A-Rod, Tex, and Swish from existence. And in the biggest spot, I'm getting a CC. In the biggest spot in the ALDS against the Tigers, those three hitters spit the bit. Tex worked the walk. Great. So with your 4-5 and 6 hitters up with one out and the bases loaded, you go 0-2 with a walk and get a run. Also, I thought Derek Jeter's ball was out. I thought that was a 2-run homer. I thought the Yankees take the lead, and I think Rivera's coming in, game over. See you later. We'll see Texas on Saturday. Me and Oriema will be at the stadium to bring it to you. Well, that didn't get out. When I saw Don Kelly inching up to the wall and staying there, I said, you know what? It's not meant. It's not meant to be.
Yeah.
And CC Sabathia down the stretch, I don't know what you were expecting out of him either. You were expecting him to be shut down after the, you know, late August and September that this guy had? And I don't want to hear that the weight had nothing to do with it. Because he put on a lot of weight.
He
and
did.
Sweeney Murdy was the only one to ask the question. Give him complete credit. The beat writer extraordinaire, or the beat reporter for WFAN. At the last press conference, he asked Joe Girardi, there's some speculation. Listen, he's being nice. That CC gained weight. He did. A lot. And as my partner will tell you, on the bunt, in game 4, it was very relevant to the situation that I'm talking about right now. Couldn't get off the mound. Get off the mound.
I mean, Chris, you talked about it. When he started out the season 16-5,
Joe, there was a point.
That was up to August 1st.
12-1 with an ERA just over 2.
He was right there with Verlander for the Cy Young race.
CeCe was the Cy Young.
Down the stretch, the last 9 starts, the team was 4-5. He was 3-3 with a 4.30 ERA.
Very ordinary.
And he gave up 10 home runs.
I'm sorry, very ordinary.
He gave up 10 home runs in that stretch. Now, if you want to go, before that, the rest of the season before that.
Sorry, it was game 3 that he pitched, not game 4.
He was 16-5 with a 2.55 ERA. And he had only given up 7 home runs in 24 starts. So in the last 9 starts, he gave up 10 home runs.
And, you know, there were some of my friends who made the excuse that he was tired because he pitched so many innings. Well, it could also be because he's tired
because
for
he's
other
fatigued.
Reasons. Yes.
Because he got bigger. I'm sorry, he came into camp looking pretty
oh
swell.
Oh, my God. He
looked in good shape.
He was in great
and
shape.
I'm sorry, by the end of the season, he looked like he not only gained that weight back,
but
gained
more.
And if they say it's a couple pounds... I'm sorry.
Joe Girardi said a few. It wasn't a few. It was a lot. I mean, like you said, he gained the weight back and more. So.
And to me,
and this is
that puts pressure on your knees.
Yeah. Listen,
that puts
the Yankees.
Pressure on, and he, the one thing that
Yankees aren't in the postseason without CC Sabathia. Let me say that right now.
Right.
But I don't. As a fan, I don't know what you were expecting out of CC, who was awful down the stretch, and Alex Rodriguez. I mean, they played in the postseason the way they finished the season.
No, I know. And to me, Sabathia, the one thing that he's known for is location, location, location. He has pinpoint location. And to me, he wasn't hitting his spots at all.
Ramon Santiago destroyed CC Sabathia. Look, give me Ramon Santiago's numbers. I mean, in that game 3 in Detroit, a pivotal game 3 in Detroit, when you have your ace on the mound, and granted, you know, he's only working on, what was it, 2 days rest?
Yeah.
He went out there, he gutted it out. That guy wants the ball in every big situation. I can't question his heart. I can't question his character. I can't question his competitiveness. I want him to have the ball. He's my horse, he's my ace, whatever. But you can't deny the fact that towards the end of the season and in the postseason, that's not the CC Sabathia that we saw from June through August.
Yeah, I mean,
or late May through August.
Ramon Santiago was 2-for-4 with 2 RBI in that game. And in the series itself, Ramon Santiago was 2-for-14.
That's what I'm saying. I don't understand it.
So but that goes back. He was 0 for 10 the rest
of
the series.
Our good buddy John Sterling says it all the time, and people make fun of him for it. But he hits the nail right on the head all the time. That's baseball. That's baseball. If you've ever played the sport at any level in your life, any level, it doesn't matter. There are times you know that ball, when you're batting, looks like a beach ball. And you can hit it and you can do whatever you want with it. But then there's times you go up there and you're lost. And unfortunately, that's what happened to the middle of the Yankees order. It just happened at the wrong time. Plain and simple.
Going back to your point, now, you know, I want to hit on, you know, they have the free agents. You know, I think they should bring back Eric Chavez. I really do.
He's looking at retirement, I saw.
I know, but I think they should convince him because he was a good bench player.
Andrew Jones was a lefty
killer.
Yeah, he was good.
His second half was beastly.
Yeah.
I think they're going to let Posada go, and I think Posada's going to land somewhere. Yeah. I really do. I think Posada's, you know, his September.
I tried thinking in my head where he might be able to land up.
I think either Tampa or Baltimore.
It's got to be Tampa. I don't think, unless he's going to pay for, you know, seashells down at Baltimore.
And the only reason why I say Baltimore is because he played for
Buck
before.
I get it.
And he would be a good backup to the Wieters.
Is he going to play for a million and a half a year to play for Baltimore?
I don't know.
Is he going to sign a one-year deal? If he says, I still want to play and it's about the game, he'll sign for anything.
Yeah, no, I agree.
If you want to play, you'll play for anything.
I think first things first, where they have to, you know, Cashman's contract expires on October 31st, and I think they need to re-up him immediately.
Yeah.
And Theo Epstein going to the Cubs, I think that closed that window for Cashman, because I don't think he was ever really serious about it, but that was something where the Yankees can say that was always an option.
Yeah, and now you have people saying Cashman to the Red Sox. That's not happening.
That's not happening.
And here's another thing that isn't happening. David Ortiz is not going to be a New York Yankee. Stop. I don't even know why that made its way into papers.
Right.
There is no need for this guy. Right. None. He's on the worst half. He's on the bottom end of his career. He's going down. He's not even playing anymore. He's going down.
Oh, he had a huge year, Chris. I mean, I'm not.
What did he do in the postseason last year?
Well, he wasn't in the postseason.
Exactly. No, last year.
Oh.
Or the year before. They weren't in the postseason last year either. He's not a good postseason player.
All I'm saying is he did hit .309 with 29 home runs and 96 RBIs. That's not an awful year.
It's not shabby, but where's he going to play?
No, I know. They don't need him as a DH.
Jesus Montero is your DH.
They don't need him as a DH. But, you know, you look at it. If CC opts out, I think that's going to be a long process. I think the Yankees are going to look at some of the pitchers that are on the market.
And it doesn't matter what, you know, if CC opts out, he knows he has the Yankees by the horns. He does. Because if no one's going to pay CC Sabathia the money except the Red Sox or maybe the Cubs if Epstein says, oh, well, if he opts out, I'm going to go after him.
Right.
Who else is going to give him the money but those two teams?
Right.
Who can?
You know, I could see the Yankees coming back and saying, okay, we'll give you the Cliff Lee deal now this year, the 5-125.
CC skips, what do the Yankees have?
Yeah, they're gonna go hard after CJ Wilson.
They're gonna have to. Mark Burley.
Yeah. Hiroki Kuroda.
I mean,
that's what you're left with.
I think this all goes back to what you brought up on the podcast months ago. Nick Swisher. And we sweetened it up a couple days ago. Nick Swisher and Jesus Montero for Kershaw.
See, I think they're...
And Matt Kemp.
It's going to be more than that. They're going to have to give up...
Banuelos.
Hughes.
If you could bring back Clayton Kershaw and Matt Kemp, I don't see how there's any way you could say no to that.
You know what's funny about this whole thing? I've told people I would basically give up a lot for Felix Hernandez. I would give up.
Oh, yeah.
People are like, well, you know, how you're the one that always, you're the one that always talks about the farm system and how the Yankees need to keep the farm.
I do too.
And I agree with that.
But you're getting a bona fide starter.
You're the one thing you're never going to know is you're never going to know what you're getting.
Exactly. How many years is it going to take for these guys to get up to speed?
Now you're getting a 26-year-old stud.
Yeah.
So if that avenue opens
and
up,
Kershaw is a lefty, and you.
The Seattle's already talked about Jack Z coming back for 2012. He's the GM of the Mariners. Mm. So that's something that's probably closed, because I don't know if they're going to. Upper management might tell them, we need to retool, we need to reshuffle, call the Yankees, give the Yankees a call and see what we can work out with them. I mean, that's a possibility. The Dodgers, like I said, Kemp is in an arbitration year where they gave him a 4-year, $24 million contract. They didn't pay out all of his arbitration years. He's got one more arbitration year left. If he, you know, the Dodgers are fiscally, they're in a bad position with the McCourts and everything going on there. He could wind up getting $21 to $24 million in arbitration just for this year. And they paid him $24 over 4 years. So that could really be a hit to that organization. I honestly think that there could be some sort of line open where they call the Yankees call them. He's going to be a free agent next year anyway. They can see what kind of value that they're going to get. And again, if the Yankees call up and say, okay, well, we need a pitcher in return as well, you know, the Yankees could give up a lot for, you know, a Kemp and a Kershaw, which would be the optimal thing. I don't know if the Dodgers would do that. Or a Kemp and a Billingsley, something like that. Billingsley's got a lot of talent, too.
Banuelos could be the new Fernando Valenzuela.
Exactly. It's just to me, and I'm not saying that this is something that's going to happen. And I know that you said, you know, the Yankees are not going to pick up the option on Swisher. But if
that's just my opinion. That's not fact.
If something like that doesn't happen, where they're getting a Matt Kemp in return, I think they're going to pick up Swisher's option. I really do. I think they're going to get him back out there, and because there's really not much else that's out there, and he's a good clubhouse guy. But if something like that were to happen, where the Dodgers and the Yankees got together, they're not going to, you know, obviously they're not going to pick up
Swisher's
option.
I'll agree with you there. I think, they'd pick it up and then trade him.
Right.
But I was
saying either that or they just don't.
They don't pick up the option.
They don't pick the option. He goes somewhere else.
Yeah. But I really, you know, I sat there and I was saying, you know, I was watching game 5. No one in my house watches baseball. I was at my in-laws' house that night. Everybody's in bed. I'm downstairs. My wife thought I was on the phone. I was talking to myself. Swisher's up, the bases loaded, 2 outs in the 7th. All right, he needs to get a hit. He gets a hit. He's the hero. His option is picked up tomorrow. I think he popped out. I think he fouled out, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, it's just... The Yankees had so many opportunities in that series to win it. You go back and you relive it and you replay it in your head over and over and over again, and you don't know why or how they're not playing in this round against the Rangers. Then again, you look at what the Rangers are doing to the Tigers right now, especially Nelson Cruz. I mean, just give him the ALCS MVP already and be done with it.
So I also wanted to tell you about a... You know, I've been getting a lot of emails about Yu Darvish, this Japanese pitcher who went, this year went 17-5 with under a 2 ERA with 261 strikeouts, 38 walks, amazing numbers, with the Nippon team in Japan. And one guy said, I don't even know why are the Yankees not looking at him? You know, I heard the Rangers are front runners to get him. Why? You know,
Kay Gower, you know, ring a bell.
And this is
Hideki Arabu, ring a bell.
He tried to say, you know, well, you know, this is a different situation than Dice K, and this is a different situation than, I'm sorry, but there was as much, you know, swirling around Dice K as there is Yu Darvish. There was as much around Hideki Arabu's. You know, swirling as...
And he was the Nolan Ryan of Japan.
So they're all... I'm sorry, but these Japanese pitchers, to me, have all been a bust. I mean, you look at Daisuke's last year before he came over here.
He was 17-6 with a 2.13 ERA, had over 200 strikeouts, had less than 80 walks, similar numbers to Yu Darvish. And he's had one really good year in the majors, and other than that, he's been a bust. I'm sorry, he's been a bust. Hideo Nomo, he had some pretty good years, but you know, once they picked up...
He was never the star that everybody thought he was going to be.
Hideki
Arabo. None of them.
And I'm not singling out because I thought Hideki Okajima was a good reliever at some point in his career. You know, Koji Uehara is I think he's excellent. But again, short doses. They're relievers.
Don't forget, Uehara started out as a starter.
Right, right.
He's a better reliever.
Right, in small doses. I'm not buying into, you know, putting all this money into Yu
Darvish.
Let's
just say...
When he's facing hitters that aren't as good as major league
hitters
in a shorter season.
Let's just say the talent and the value gets lost in translation when you come to the United States.
I actually have more confidence in Japanese hitters coming over and making the transformation. And even they haven't been great. I mean, other than Ichiro and Matsui...
Hideki Matsui and Ichiro, yeah.
And Matsui hasn't... Fully lived.
Not Kaz Matsui live up to expectations.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Hideki was great for the Yankees, but again, Yankee fans were like, we're getting a 40-50 home run hitter in Matsui. He never lived up to that.
No.
But he was good. He was very good. He was solid every year.
Yeah.
You knew what you were getting, and he was a World Series MVP. Came up in big spots.
Joe, we live in a sabermetrics world. We are just pawns in the sabermetric world. And people, all they do is look at these numbers and the UZR and the WAR and the BS that comes along with all this stuff. You know, I tend to take Larry Boa's philosophy. He basically, on the set of MLB Network, took the UZR, ripped it up and threw it in the air and said, you know, the human element is what I care about. He goes, you could look at as many numbers as you want, but if you're a manager and you walk into a clubhouse and you see a guy and you see what his demeanor is, you could probably tell what kind of game he's going to have because of the human element. What happened to him that day? Is there a number for that?
Right, and I agree with that. And I also think that I actually, you know what? I would be foolish not to say that using sabermetrics and using all of these other numbers isn't a useful tool, because when you look at the grand scheme of things, I think you need to take everything into account. You know, you look at this money ball, and people that say that it wasn't successful are wrong, because, you know, years later, you know, they were using it. Now, basically, all 30 teams are using what that strategy and that method. However, you have to use everything. You have to use the human element. You have to use the stats. When you're signing somebody or you're looking to bring in somebody, I think everything needs to come into account. The clubhouse personality, the type of person this guy is. I think everything needs to come into account.
Too many people put
live and die by.
Yes,
and again, I'm not saying that.
They make that the be-all, end-all.
Right, and what I'm saying is that I agree with some things that they use. I agree with some of the methods that they use. However, I'm also saying that there's other factors that need to be completely looked into. And as you said, the human element is one of them. So,
you know, this is the thing. If I know we've thrown this example out there before, but let's just say... Take, for example, Alex Rodriguez, okay? He doesn't tell anybody that his thumb is hurting him. And you're looking at Alex's UZR, okay? And it was fantastic at the beginning of the week. Then he makes three errors because he can't squeeze the glove. He had a hurt thumb.
Yeah.
Is that factored in?
No. And CC Sabathia gaining weight.
Yeah, and most of these guys, you know, if they're hurt, they're not going to tell you. Like, Jeter will go out there with a freaking cast on his leg. He doesn't want to be out of the lineup.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know.
I see all sides of it. I really do. But I'm just saying, you know, going back to Yu Darvish.
We mock what we don't understand.
I'm just saying, going back to Yu Darvish, I think the Yankees would be off the reservation if they signed a guy like this.
That was from Spies Like Us, by the way.
Spies Like Us is a great movie.
We mock what we don't understand.
So,
Doctors Trowbridge and Greenbaum. I'm sorry. By the way, Ghostbusters 3 coming out 2012.
That's right.
Theaters near you. Anyway, Hugh Jackman, you were talking about him.
Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Darvish.
You know, I'm just saying, I just don't think, you know, you look at Daisuke's numbers, they were gaudy in Japan, just almost as gaudy as Hugh Darvish, and he never, you know, Daisuke was, they put a $51 million posting fee. After all said and done, they spent $100 million on this guy, and he's a non-factor. I mean, that's my opinion. I think they should go after proven commodities. If they can make a trade for somebody, if they can, you know, I know they're probably going to go after a guy like C.J. Wilson. I don't know if they're going to sign him, but, you know, it's another lefty that would be coming into Yankee
Stadium. Like you said, first things first, you got to get your GM under contract.
And you got to get the C.C. Sabathia situation
That's probably at the top of the list. And then after you figure out C.C., then you could start worrying
about it. It's going to be an interesting offseason.
And lucky for you fans out there that have made it this long through the podcast, next month, Yankees Hot Stove starts once again here on Yes.
That's right.
So all the latest Yankee news, notes.
With our buddy Jack
moves,
Curry and Bob
Jack
Lorenz.
Curry, Bob Lorenz, and a rotating panel
of
experts.
Stars.
Yes. Your buddy John Heyman, not the guy that does the weather for Verizon Fios One. But
I think he spells it differently, too. It's like,
no, it's the same.
Oh, is it?
H-E-Y-M-A-N.
Oh, okay. I thought it was H-A.
No.
Hey.
No.
Hey, man.
No. So you'll have that starting next month. So you have, listen, baseball never goes away here at Yes, fortunately for you. The Yankees might have lost in the ALDS, but it lives on here on the Yes Network starting next month with Yankees Hot Stove and then Pitchers and Catchers in February. And away we go. We'll be in Tampa doing another podcast. Joe, as we sit here, I'm going to hit you in the shoulder in 4 months and say, can you believe I said 4 months ago we'd be in Tampa and we're here already?
I know. We're almost there.
So have no fear. Baseball will be back before you know it. And that's going to wrap up the Off the Wall podcast for this week. For Joe Auriemma, I'm Chris Sheeran. And we want to thank one more time our special guest today.
Paul Sullivan of the Chicago Tribune. Cubs beat writer. He was excellent.
Check him out, chicagotrib.com, his Cubs mailbag, if you want to get up to the moment news and notes on the Cubbies, the lovable losers. And once again, just to reiterate what he said, mark it down, play this podcast back in 5 years. The length of Epstein's career, he said the Cubbies will not have a World Series championship. So, once again, for Joe Auriemma, I'm Chris Sheeran. We'll see you next time here on the Off the Wall podcast. Until then, adios.